broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
You know, black people in general do not go, we're not really politically charged.
The nuclear posture review we are releasing today represents
for the last month or so, the Blindside actress has been holed up in her Hollywood Hills home.
Was he dressed as a male?
What's a gay what?
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that if you watch our video feed, you realize is a reality show wrapped around a radio show. Because I just lost it. I mean, I just lost it off the air on this switch. Those of you who watch our video feed, we even took a picture of the switch. That's how famous it's become. The switch. The famous switch that I'm supposed to flip. So that we make sure that certain bits of audio are not on our web feed and certain bits of audio are on our web feed. Unfortunately, this switch that I got to remember to flip doesn't have an on-off light. It doesn't have a red or a white light. It doesn't have an on-air, off-air light. You know, on-air, off-air lights. I bet you an on-air, off-air light is something that every human being within the sound of my voice has seen at least once in a movie, on a TV show, in a commercial, if you don't work in the business. Anyway. Black Tea Partiers are taking heat. Jack Armstrong is going to discuss this with us. Jack is a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post and the Move On blog. Also, a six-year-old. This is a horrible story. I find it very difficult to believe. I find this almost impossible to believe. A six-year-old reportedly commits suicide. I won't believe it until something far more conclusive than a blurb in some jive-ass newspaper someplace tells me about it. No. No, not me, lads, not me, you know. Just because some rag printed a story or somebody like David, I just did a pilot at CNN, Schuster says it happened, it don't necessarily mean it did. 877-876-PHIL. Our website is philhendryshow.com. Let me put it to you this way. We had a great quarter hour there, the end of that last segment, and because the switch wasn't flipped, we didn't have any audio on our video feed. However, the good news is this. When I find out that the switch isn't flipped, I go through such a meltdown, it must be entertaining as hell watching me lose my mind on camera. So that's got to be worth the price of admission. 877-876-PHIL. So let's see what we got here. Then we'll get Jack Armstrong on the line. And basically what we're talking about is the continuing saga of the United States Tea Party movement, whether it is a group of libertarians that don't want to call themselves a libertarian, conservatives who don't like the Republican Party, which I don't blame you, whatever they're called, they continue and they are embracing a wider and wider, they're throwing their net, as it might be said, further and further out. And now a great many African-American voters are joining their ranks, something that might not be expected. And they're even using the O word with some of these black folks, Oreo, which is such a childish, stupid thing to do. Nonetheless, they have been called that and worse, and they're used to having to defend their values. Now black conservatives are taking heat for their involvement in the mostly white Tea Party movement and for having the audacity to oppose the policies of the nation's first black president. But hey, guess what? Black people don't vote as a monolithic block. Black people are people, just like white folks, and they vote the way they feel like voting. And some of them are conservative, and some of them are liberal. And you know what? I love your movies, Spike, but that Get on the Bus, what a waste of film, man. What a waste of my afternoon looking at that turd. I like a man when you do Clockers and all of those cool movies. But when you start going political and Summer of Sam, have you stopped taking heat for that? Here is Kevin Jackson, a black Tea Party member. He recently spoke to Bill O'Reilly on Fox News. Oh, by the way, there's another fantastic story about Tom Coburn. You know, the guy that I thought was, you know, just a disgrace. Well, I happen to like him now. He said something that I found very refreshing. He said, you want to know something? Fox News doesn't always tell the truth. Nancy Pelosi isn't as bad as you think she is, although I don't like her. Although, I got to say. And he said, no, you're not going to go to prison if you don't buy health insurance. This guy's a Republican. And Coburn was there cozying up with Boehner that day. They were talking to Obama, giving Obama all of voodoo numbers on what the hell was it? The tort reform, all of that bull crap about $150 billion. Anyway, Kevin Jackson talking to Bill O'Reilly on Fox News. He explains here why black people aren't showing up to Tea Party events in greater numbers.
You know, black people in general do not go. We're not really politically charged. I think Obama was able to bring a little bit more of that out. But we're not rally types to begin with.
But we see 20,000 show up for Farrakhan in Chicago.
Well, with Farrakhan, it's probably a different dynamic. But I think as a rule, we're not really the type to go out and rally for things such as this, even though in many cases we believe a lot of the same principles.
Jackson explains how he reacts to claims by the media that Tea Party events are racist.
I say it's completely bogus. There's been zero racial incidents at a Tea Party with me, and as I said, I've been to dozens. I'll be speaking with the Tea Party Express at a few here coming up, and I'll be headlining a couple of Tea Parties in Houston. And I can tell you, I'm looking forward to going. And I look at it as the left is just trying to demonize a movement that, quite frankly, I consider the re-emancipation of America. I call it Emancipation 2. This time, everybody gets freed.
All right, Dean Wheeler, or excuse me, Dean, we just talked to Dean. Sorry, Jack. Jack Armstrong with us from the Twin Cities. Jack, how are you?
Well, Phil, listening to that man and listening to some of your comments, I was doing pretty good, but I can't say I'm doing very well right now. It's very distressing, this topic.
All right, well, we'll get into that, Jack. The story basically, as I was reporting it here, and this is an AP story, not a Fox story. I've been told I hate myself. I've been called an Uncle Tom. I've been told I'm a spook at the door, said Timothy F. Johnson, chairman of the Frederick Douglass Foundation, a group of black conservatives who support free market principles and limited government. Now, Jack, you're not black, but you're a liberal, a progressive, you know.
Well, I'm not black, Phil, but I was not born in this country. However, I'm about as American as anybody. I lived in this country long enough to know when... I hate to say this, you can start to bite the hand that feeds you, and the black voter, I tell you, you know, this is a great opportunity for the black voter, and they're going to take it, they're going to throw it into the dirt, because why? Because they want to cozy up to Bill O'Reilly? No, that's not it. Because they want to get more FaceTime on Fox News? No, that's not it. I'll tell you what it is. It's the reverse of the Black Panther mentality. It is the rebel. And I think the rebel is always going to be in the black voter because of the history of African Americans in this country. They're always going to be people that that got a little bit of the rebel in them, that are a little bit of the revolutionary in them. That they're the word that you like to use a lot, Phil. They're recalcitrant. You know, they're chafing against the grain. You know, and I think the time is now to say to black the people. You don't have to be a rebel anymore. There's no need to be the rebel anymore because there's a black man in the White House. And that, I think, I'm not saying all the problems are over now. I'm not saying that at all. But I think that right now, the things are moving forward.
Well, no, anyway, you're telling me that black people vote, black people are just contrary as a knee jerk. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, yeah, to a degree. I think it's a very automatic, I think it's reflexive among black voters. If they get what they say they want, then they say, no, you know what, now, I don't think I do want that. I think I want something else. I think it's reflexive. I think it's a, it's almost like a reflex, if you want to call that, where you say that I want to have a black president. I want to have more of a, more government programs for jobs. I want to have, and then when the black president is elected to be a black man who's the president, then they say, oh, you know something, I changed my mind. And I think that this is the black voter, the African American. It is a passive aggressive, and it's a way, sure, of taking a shot, of dishing it out, of getting a little bit of payback.
And well, what do you mean by payback? What is the payback there? Is it confusing the system?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's just it's payback. They like to confuse the system, and they like to confuse the pollsters. They want people to be confused. What is the intention of a black voter? What do black people want to vote for? Well, we know that black people for the longest time, of course, had to put their trust and their hope maybe into a I don't know what you would want to call it. They have to put their hope and their trust into a white man. You know, now they have a black voter, and I'm not exactly sure. They've got a black president, and I don't know why, but they don't want to go with that. They want something different.
And this is all your opinion based on what?
Well, my opinion based on what? Based on what your opinion is based on. you know.
All right, observation, but you don't have any real, I just was wondering if you had any kind of, I don't know what you would call it, any sort of data, any demographic data or any focus groups?
No, I don't have it. Listen, let me tell you the focus group. The focus group is inside of my head, between my ears, because of where I've come from. Black voters have joined the Tea Party movement as a way of getting payback on a system that has taken them for granted and that expects them to support Barack Obama. But guess what? They're not going to support Barack Obama now. They're going to say, guess what? I'm not going to support Barack Obama now. I'm going to say, guess what? I'm voting for the Tea Party. And those are the ones that I'm going to vote for.
And you called this passive-aggressive. You have all of these marvelous comments to make, Jack, about why black voters, why black African-Americans are conservative, some are conservative, and it all has to do with a notion that they're getting payback or they're a reflexive rebel, but nothing in there about how maybe conservative policies make sense.
Oh, but because conservative policies for black people don't make no sense. They don't make no sense. If you think about it...
Why don't they make sense?
Conservative policies for black people don't make no sense because if you let the free market reign, then all of the old racial values kick in. All of the old racial values are going to kick in. I don't understand. I don't know why you would even ask that question. If you let the free market reign and you take the government off of the backs of everybody, then all of the free market principles are going to kick in, and all of the blue lining kicks in, all of the racial principles kick in, all of the racial discriminations kick in, and we're right back to square one where we was or where we started. So conservatism does not make sense.
Boy, you are really making some big broad statements there, aren't you?
Conservatism does not make sense for the black voter. The only reason why the black voter would go the conservative route is to be recalcitrant and to be passive-aggressive and, to get some payback on the system.
All right, Jack Armstrong joins us on The Phil Hendry Show. Why are African-Americans voting Tea Party? And he says it isn't because of the conservative viewpoint making sense. It's not because the economic system, the economics that are being advocated makes sense. It's because it's a knee-jerk, a reflexive rebel instinct on the part of black voters and... it has to do with getting payback on the system because conservative politics don't make sense for African Americans. And I'd love to hear some comment from my listeners on that as we'll get back and talk to Jack some more. But that's a fascinating comment. Conservative politics, conservative principles don't work for black voters. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I didn't say we got. You got it wrong a little bit.
No, that's what you said.
Phil Hendry.
Number is 877-876-PHIL. On the line is Jack Armstrong. He's a blogger and as well as a contributor to our program as a pollster and was doing a lot of polling for us during the campaign and accurately picked many months before actually the convention that it would be Barack Obama as the fallback guy. So I congratulate you on that, Jack.
Well, he didn't get lucky. It was done from a lot of studying,
All right. Well, so let's take some of that studying that you did, and let's talk about this idea that the reason why there are black voters in the Tea Party. First of all, do you think that they're welcomed by the white voters in the Tea Party movement?
I think that the white voters in the Tea Party movement would look at the migration of black voters into the Tea Party movement with great suspicion, because I don't think that the white people in the Tea Party movement do not have the flexibility of mind. Do not have the flexibility of mentality and mind that we do in the, if you will, the progressive movement, to relate in non-racial texture in textures, and so to say.
What does that mean? You hang with black people better?
Well, if you want to put an offensive colloquial interpretation on it, Phil.
What does that mean? Are you saying that white folks in the Tea Party are going to be suspicious of black people joining the Tea Party because they just don't hang out with black people very well?
I don't think that's saying anything. I am not saying anything that the white man doesn't know, the white man in the Tea Party movement doesn't already know.
Well, that would be another interesting question to throw out there. See, you said something really that I want an answer to, and then I'm going to get to a phone call here, that the conservative politics don't make sense for black voters. And you said because I don't understand. What was your answer again?
I said that conservatism does not make sense to black voters because that means a lessening of government influence in the correction and direction of society. Black voters need that because without that, and allowing the free market to reign, you're going to have reflexive racism. And so the black voter falls into a reflexive rebellion. I think what I'm saying, it makes an awful lot of sense, and I think it probably people don't want me to say it because it scares the Tea Party. You know?
You think what you say scares the Tea Party?
Oh, I think it scares them to death. I think it scares them to death because they know, because what I'm saying, I'm repeating back to the black voter what they already know deep. And I don't think that the Tea Party movement or the whites want me to say this.
877-876-PHIL, as we talk to Jack Armstrong here from Minneapolis. Here is Dave in Mobile, Alabama. Dave, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Jack Armstrong. Go ahead, sir.
Phil, I love your program. This is exactly what we need to be discussing. You know, Jack is the quintessential progressive in that their mindset is if you don't believe the progressive movement and if you don't accept what they are spinning, that you are somehow inferior and damaged. I am a white southern male, and I have to tell you that I'm offended for our African-American brothers in America because to suggest, as Jack indicates, that if we go to a conservative or a constitutional mindset, that the black guy is going to somehow be at an inferior advantage because they're not able to express the American dream as we can. I mean,
I did not say that at all. You know full well I didn't say that. What I said was that if we go to a system that is less reliant upon federalism, if you will, less reliant upon the government having a hand at times in guiding and directing and correcting the course of society, that the African-American voter is going to be at a disadvantage because we will fall back on a racial politics. We will fall back, the private citizen will, in categorizing and blue lining and all of the things that we know that we come from.
Well, don't you see a day when we will grow out of that?
I see a day that we'll grow out of it, but I don't see that day today. So I think that a lot of black voters are fooling themselves.
Yeah, what you're basically saying is that the black man is not capable of competing in the marketplace like the white man is. It sounds like you're progressive.
I think what I said was that the white man is not capable of leaving race at the door. I think the white man is not capable of leaving race at the door. That's what I said.
Interesting to me is that it's the progressive movement that is playing the race card. In fact, you guys exploited the black man whenever you got Obama in office. Uh-huh. It was not that you wanted to have the black vote. It was that you wanted to move forward your progressive agenda. And now that it seems like we may actually have some African Americans that actually want to go back to our original founding fathers in the Constitution, I think that's what scares you guys, the progressive movement, because you're afraid now that maybe the black guy is waking up and realizing that, hey, the America our fathers gave us is much better than the America that you progressives want to give them.
Well, I can tell you once the African American has a taste of the Tea Party movement, I think he's going to go back to coffee. I think he's going to go back to coffee.
Well, whatever that means, you know. But yeah, I find it interesting that we have there three white men on the line here. We're talking about black people, you know.
Well, that could be very significant in that I'm making the argument for the black person very well, and that they don't need to call in.
I doubt that highly.
Again, Jack, I'm offended for our black brothers. Look, I'm standing beside them, and have you looked at the numbers of black voters that voted for Obama now that are finding out that what they were sold was a bill of goods, and now they're being led by the nose by this secret progressive movement?
I don't know that that's the case. I haven't talked to every last person that was a person of color that voted for Obama, and I don't see a migration away from the Democratic Party in mass. Mr. Henry has begun to speak of this migration in a small amount of black voters to the tea movement. So,
all right, Jack. Listen, thank you. Dave. Good call, sir. 877-876-PHIL is the number. You think that you're making the argument very, very well, huh?
I think what is happening. Any black voter who wants to go to the Tea Party movement, have yourself a good time. Whatever floats your boat, whatever floats your boat. But I think that at the end of the day, when the black voter had a good whiff and a good taste and sat down and broke bread with the tea people, I think he's going to... Notice I don't say teabagger. That's not what I do. That's not who I am. But I think at the end of the day, after he sat down and he busted bread and took a good, healthy one, you know, with the tea, I think he's going to return to the progressive movement.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Jack Armstrong, conservative politics don't make sense for black folks. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I would say that either. You lie or you lie.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil. We have somebody on the line, a progressive talk show host that we have not had with us for a long time, Kathy Daly, who's does the show Daly's Daily. I don't know if you've listened to her, Jack.
I know Kathy very well, yeah.
All right, Kathy, how are you?
I'm doing well.
And Kathy, tell Jack what it was that you were saying to me off air about this.
Is she talking to me?
Yeah, you know she's deaf.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is the deaf lady. When you said Daly, I thought John Daly or something.
No, not John Daly. This is Kathy Daly. Daly's... repeat your question, Kathy, okay?
I can't understand. I do. You talk about Al Capone?
No, she's not talking about Al Capone.
Well, what did she talk about?
Should they stay at home? Should they not vote?
Who, the black voters?
Should they stay at home, not vote, not be involved?
No, they should stay with the progressive movement, the Democratic... I'm talking, you know, I find this so unfair. You've got me talking to a deaf woman.
You said you you knew her show.
I thought I knew her show. I don't know it. I don't know of any show where a person's stumbling and muttering. What'd she say?
She said, you sound like a stumbling, muttering, and I can't say the other word.
Oh, so she gets to use dirty words. This is pretty interesting, Phil, the way you work this. You got yourself a talk show host who gets to use the filthy words on me, but because she's deaf and she sounds like she's stumbling and muttering, no one understands. I think I understood. See, are you talking about me?
That's what she said, yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about you. Who do you think I'm talking about? You think I'm talking about Phil Hendry? You know, it feels like I'm in that Todd Browning movie, Freaks, you know, like I'm supposed to sit here at a table with freaks. Like I got to sit and I are you telling me I've got to drink from the same cup as the freak? Is this what you tell me?
She says, okay, so I'm a freak, huh?
Yes, I think so, because if I'm supposed to have a debate with a deaf, I don't understand what you're saying, number one. We're not even having a debate, you know?
Okay, he's hung up. Olivia, did you have anything else? Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, I knew he'd hang up because it frustrates the hell out of him.
Well, it frustrates a lot of people. So that was Olivia Daly. That's her name, Olivia. I've called her Kathy. Olivia Daly from Daly's Daily, and... that idiot, that Jack Armstrong, got frustrated because he can't hear what she's saying. See, you get those two together, I think she makes more sense than he does, and she don't make any sense. All right, one final story here before the break. The Sandra Bullock breaks silence on alleged graphic Nazi sex tape. Did you hear about this? Well, neither did I. Now, amid internet rumors describing a graphic sex tape featuring her and husband Jesse James, Sandra Bullock is finally speaking out. There is no sex tape, the Oscar winner asserts in a statement of People. There never has been one, and there never will be one. Have you finally gotten a message here, Sandra, that hooking up with some trailer trash like this, you're getting everything that you purchased? You get what you pay for, baby, and you paid for this. There is no sex tape, said Bullock, so here she is, She, in the days following the greatest triumph of her career, winning an Oscar, she's got to talk about sex tapes and a husband dressed up in Nazi regalia having sex in some trailer with some chick that poses nude for whatever. Easy Rider. Reports surfaced on Tuesday that James had more than a dozen homemade sex tapes. The tapes reportedly contained a mass amount of Nazi paraphernalia. Celebrity tell-all biographer Ian Halperin, famous for his scathing book, Brangelina, claims Sandra, who read that, by the way, Mr. Halperin? I guess enough people. Claims Sandra even appears in at least one of the tapes. He alleges on his website graphic details about the tape includes James smearing blank on Bullock's upper blank during various types of blank sex. Lots of profanity hurled from both parties, and a leather-clad James sporting a Hitler mustache with a brown hat with a swastika ramming a handcuffed Bullock's blank, blank, blank with a shotgun in his left hand. This is, you know something, Halperin? Not for nothing, man, but I got it. You better take another run at this, because reading this, I know it isn't true. Just reading this stuff, I know it isn't true.
Well, how do you know for sure?
Because it sounds like something that a jackass like him would make up. In other words, it sounds like a guy thinking the following thing. Wow, if people bought the whole Richard Gere gerbil thing, what would they buy about Sandra Bullock? This is going to be fantastic. I can get some rumors going and attach my name to it. And
yeah, but then she'd call and she'll sue.
What about that, man? She could sue, you know. You know, lawsuits like this... A lawsuit like, the guy like this has probably got lawyers coming out of his ears for lawsuits like that. What's she going to sue for? She's going to sue for slander? She's going to sue for libel? She's going to sue for damages? She's going to have to, first of all, prove that she's got a reputation that can be savaged. See, this is the whole thing that people don't understand about slander and libel. When you claim that you've been damaged by a libelous or a slanderous attack, you have to prove the damage. You have to show where you've been damaged. You also have to prove that you had a sterling reputation that could be damaged. Well,
on account of she got married to this guy.
Yeah. First of all, the opposing side would say, well, I'm sure, Your Honor, that Ms. Bullock, in marrying this man... I don't know that she really had that much of a concern for her reputation, given the husband, who, of course, had engaged in all kinds and various and sundry and so on and so forth, right? All right, so what else? This is from a close friend of the couple who's been in contact with both parties. You're a liar, Halperin. How do you feel about that, man? You're a liar. Now, if anybody's got any brains, they listen to the Phil Hendry Show because they know that we don't pull any punches. We tell the truth. And 99.999% of the time, we're right. So I'll tell you right now, this guy's lying. It can't be so stupid that a guy's going to walk up to him and say, hey, by the way, my name is so-and-so. I'm a friend of Sandra Bullock's, and wait till you see what she was taking in her blank-blank. You got it. Both barrels, too. And then Halperin runs home and in his underwear scribbles all this stuff down in a sweat. No. Sandra Bullock has adamantly denied such claims, breaking her silence for the first time. And why wouldn't she? Since James' cheating scandal broke on March 17th, Bullock, age 45, and looks pretty good for it, has been laying low since reports surfaced that James, age 40, allegedly had cheated on her with at least four other women. Still, according to a report from Radar Online, Tuesday, Bullock does indeed have something to hide, and that's precisely why she hasn't filed for divorce yet. Well, that the report from Radar Online, is that this guy, this Halperin? Because it's horse dung. What is this? Is this another thing from, oh, it's from Fox 411. You guys are about as clued in as Halperin. A source tells Radar the main reason Sandra has not filed divorce papers yet is because she doesn't want to trigger Jesse into attacking her publicly and revealing her secrets. Like what? Sandra's one of the most private actresses in Hollywood. The last thing she wants is Jesse out there talking about her and talking about their marriage. While Sandra's maintaining her privacy, her wayward hubby is currently in rehab for sex addiction. What a slob. Meanwhile, more disturbing rumors are surfacing courtesy of author Halper, and he writes in his blog, another source close to the troubled couple, who has known Jesse James for almost a decade, spoke to us this afternoon, quote, Jesse often gets a blank by reading women Nazi literature. Come on, man. Honest to God, you know what? This is like from How to Write Hollywood Horse Dung 101. What do you think the people will believe? You know, night class. He often gets a blankety blank aroused by reading women Nazi literature. I don't even think that there is a disease that has yet been, that has yet been actually described, or is there any literature on such a state of mind? Is there a doctor out there? Do they have they begun to name it? What would you call that, man?
What?
Well, what do you call that?
If a guy's gonna get all, you know, hot and everything, reading about a Nazi?
Yeah, what do you call that? What kind of disease is that?
Oh, that's called, like, you know, sex addiction and everything.
No, that ain't sex addiction, man.
Yeah, that's what he done.
Well, no, man, that ain't it at all. I mean, that's some weird ass who I don't think it exists. If there is such a thing as sex addiction, which maybe there is, this ain't it, getting hot reading women Nazi literature. So you're reading Mein Kampf to a woman, and you're getting aroused. I've never heard of that, man. I don't think that state of psychosexual disease, you know. He reads them Third Reich stories as well as writings from notorious fascists like Hitler, Mussolini, and Franco. Boy, now, I bet you this is somebody who's really keyed into this stuff. Notorious fascists. He reads them Third Reich stories. Well, what would that be, Third Reich story? The assassination of Heydrich? Does he read them that, you know? As the car rounded the corner, and the Hungarian revolutionaries threw the grenade, and he's getting hot? Or does he read them how Goebbels fined all the Jews a billion Reichsmarks so that they would pay for the Kristallnacht? Is that it? Or does he read the story of when Hitler went back on the Russians and invaded in Operation Barbarossa? Or does he read about Operation Sea Lion and how Goering tried to bomb the hell out of... I mean, what stories is he reading them? How about the Horst Wessel story? The source adds James has a penchant for dressing up in Nazi garb during lewd sex acts, wearing Nazi party apparel with slogans like Sieg Heil and Ein Volk.
What's that mean?
One people.
Yeah, are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm sure about it. Why?
Well, because you don't know if it's dirty or whatever. Yeah, it could be filthy.
Ein Volk, one people. It ain't filthy. It sort of is. The source confirmed that Sandra Bullock participated in numerous of these acts, but chose not to confirm if she dressed up in Nazi garb. I don't want to piss Sandra off, the source said. Now's not the time to reveal everything. She's been through a lot developing. And this is Fox 411's developing. The only thing that's developing, Fox 411, okay, are your walking papers, man. That's developing. Somebody's down in personnel right now making sure that they get the pass key from your ass. Developing. There ain't nothing to develop. And if you really want to know if there's nothing at all to develop, why don't we read some Nazi literature to you guys? In any event, there it is. There's the story from my lips to your ears. And I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm giving this to you, do I know or do I believe? No, this isn't believe. I know. I know that this is horse manure. Do I happen to have any friendship with Sandra? No, I wouldn't know Sandra Bullock. She doesn't know me. I don't know. I don't know Jesse James. I don't have any. I'm not here to protect them. I'm just telling you whether this is true or not, and it's not. It's not true. I'd love to be able to tell you that it is, but it isn't. Well, how do you know? Because it's not true. That's how I know. That's how I know it ain't true. Ain't no Nazi paraphernalia that he gets hot when he's reading Third Reich stories. I'm sure he screwed around on her. There's no question in my mind that that took place. There's no question in my mind that this woman is humiliated. There's no question in my mind that she's learned a very valuable lesson about the bad boy and trying to change men and trying to make them better and trying to, you know, lift them up. And they had such a terrible upbringing and nobody ever loved them. And you're going to love them and you're going to make it right. Yeah, she's learning the lesson that millions and billions and gazillions of women before her have learned. Yeah, all of that's true. There ain't no nothing else. Nothing else at all. Now, maybe he had a couple of pictures taken of him wearing a hat when he, you know, was hanging out with that one fat chick. Excuse me, but she is.
You're kidding me. She's hot.
Yeah, okay. When he was hanging out with that one cow, and after she did that, whatever the hell it was, you know, that photo shoot, right? And he started messing around with the hat and all that jazz. Sure, I'm sure he did that. Hey, he walked into her room and there's all this stuff, so he starts putting it on. Because he's a simple-minded clown. But as far as this jackball reading Nazi literature, first of all, how would he know that it's Nazi literature? I mean, yeah, sure, the swastika, he gets that, but... All right, 877-876-PHIL. Back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Still to come, Jim. We got more Hollywood garbage. Jim Carrey and Jenny McCarthy, they're calling it quits. The FCC loses a key ruling on internet neutrality. We happen to agree with the court on this one, and we disagree with the FCC on this one. But then again, we disagree with the FCC on just about everything that they do, including their very existence. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Swine.
Yeah, Iron Swine. And in this episode, Iron Swine gotta go to Jesse James.
Yeah, Iron Swine gotta go to Jesse James' house. Because he's gonna have sex and everything with his wife.
Yeah, he's having sex with his wife, Sandra Bullock.
Okay, Iron Swine, where are you gonna go?
I'm gonna go down and, where Jesse James is.
Yeah, and see if he's having sex.
Yeah. Hey, this Iron Swine. What the hell going on in there, huh? What are you... Aha!
Well, we won't have none of that.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's Iron Swine.
Oh, that was great, man.
What?
Well, what is he kicks in the door and he hears a bunch of Hitler...
I told you it was funny, man. Actually, it is pretty funny.
So what did he kicked in the door, and what did he hear, man? He heard...
Is
that it?
Yeah, that's the sound of Jesse James having sex with her. He goes like this.
Okay, that's funny. All right, turn it off, will you, man?
Iron Swine.
Yeah, Iron Swine. Good for you. So there's Jesse James having... All right. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Now, FCC loses key ruling on internet neutrality. Oh, my God. Wait till you hear this one, because it could mean you. I'm just kidding. Although, I'm not really kidding. See, this is a messed-up ruling, but they couldn't have ruled any other way. They couldn't have ruled any other way. A federal court threw the future of internet regulation into doubt Tuesday with a far-reaching decision that went against the Federal Communications Commission and could even hamper the government's plans to expand broadband access in the United States. All right. You remember when we were telling you about Comcast and some of these other companies? They control literally the traffic, the internet traffic. They own the big conduit through which flows all of these different, if you will, tubes of traffic in the famous words of Ted Stevens, that psycho senator, you know, from wherever the hell that guy was from.
Yeah, he's from Alaska.
Alaska, that was it. And Ted Stevens had that whole tubes rap that he did, man. It was really gone. I don't know if we still have that or not, but nonetheless, he was right. Well, Comcast owns the big one. And there's a few others that own the big ones, Comcast, AT&T Incorporated, Verizon. They have these big conduits of information. They control this. Now, they say that they're able to sell premium services and manage their systems by sometimes preventing certain applications from hogging the capacity. Others argue that when they do that, they are limiting free speech. Well, let me tell you something, folks. This whole idea about limiting free speech, see, in a country such as America that pays at least some lip service to free enterprise, when you say to somebody, okay, you have a company, good for you, you get to go and you get to do, unless, of course, it screws with the public safety or the public interest to such a degree that we have to step in. What, for instance, might that be? Well, antitrust legislation. If there is a utility company or a water company that is providing life-supporting services, and people need to have the prices regulated and the delivery of that regulated so that they are, in reception of those things, well, that's another example. But the internet ain't it. The court said that the internet is not necessary to life. Now, this was the argument that was made by the advocates opposing Comcast. They were saying, there should, and the FCC, there should be network neutrality. Now, the FCC is saying all this stuff, I think, because they can say it. They already got their envelope from Comcast, so they already got paid off, so they can pretend like they're really nice guys, right? But the fact of the matter remains that the government said, you guys are not providing anything that's life-supporting. There's nothing necessary to life that you jackasses do. I'm sure there's a lot of business that's conducted. So, no, you're not the same as a utility. And go pound sand. All right, we'll be back with more of that. One airline hopes you'll pay $45 for carry-on luggage. Just don't fly them.
Phil Henry.